Hello, this is David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center, welcoming you to Doers of the Word. This program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God so that you can live in victory in your life. Open your heart and mind now as I share the uncompromised Word with you today. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be with you on the radio broadcast, and we're going to be sharing with you on the subject of the Word of God in your life. We've been sharing with the fact that we now are new creations in Christ. Now we learn who we are in Christ. We've been made righteous. We realize the fact that now, because of the great exchange that Jesus accomplished, now we have all the blessings of God. We have an inheritance in Christ. Now this inheritance belongs to us. It is ours, and we are to go in to possess it. And the way we possess our inherited rights in Christ is through the Word of God. We must know the Word of God in our life. The Word of God is living. It's active. It's powerful. God's Word is alive. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the Word of God is quick," that means alive, "and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." This is God's Word that is alive, it's powerful, it's even a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When you hear God's Word, it will be written in your heart. And who's the Word? The Word is God. John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word is God being manifest in you. And we see how the Word was made flesh in John 1:14. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Who is this speaking of? Jesus. Jesus was the Word who was made flesh. Jesus and the Word are one. Jesus is God and the Word is God, and He was made manifest to come and dwell among us. Praise the Lord. And this is so important that you understand that Jesus is the Word. In fact, 1 John 5:7 says this, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." These three, the three parts of the Godhead, are one. And it talks about the Father, it talks about the Holy Ghost, and it talks about the Word. The Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God, and He's to come and live and abide in you. You know, the way things that God does everything is through His Word. He brought forth creation through His Word. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let there be a firmament in the heavens." God said this, and God said that, and He keeps saying things over and over, because that's the way He brings creation into being. The Bible says in Psalms 33:6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of thee by the breath of His mouth." When God's Word is spoken forth, it releases His ability, and it brought forth the creation. Hebrews 11:3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God." That's the rhema, the spoken Word of God. "So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." All the things that we see, they were not made of things which do appear. They were made of things which do not appear. And that is the Word of God that was spoken, that released the creative of the heavens and the worlds being framed and brought into being by the creative release of the faith of God. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says this, speaking of Jesus, "who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power." Jesus was upholding all things by the word of His power. You see, this Word is full of power. This Word is alive. And as you receive the Word of God in your heart, it's written in your heart, written in your mind, this Word is going to change you and transform you. Matter of fact, that's the way you got born again. The Bible says over in James chapter 1, verse 18, "Of His own will He begat us with the Word of truth." Of His own will He begat us, or caused us to be born, with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. We were born again by the Word of God, the Word of truth. 1 Peter 1, verse 23 says this again. It says, "being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We were born again by the word of God. It's a living thing. It lives and abides forever. Praise the Lord. In 1 Peter 1:25, it says, the word of the Lord endures forever. This is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. God's word endures forever. And I'll tell you, his words, they are alive. In fact, John 6:63 says this. Here it says that the spirit quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God's word is spirit, it is spiritual law, and it is life. It brings forth the manifestation of the life of God. There is life in the word. And when you receive that word to be written in your heart, written in your mind, to live and abide in you, that's the way the life of God is manifest in you. Now, we've got to get the word in us. Our minds need to be renewed to the word, and it needs to be written in our heart. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, the Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, then it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. God's word, it's alive. It says it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God's word is alive, and this word is to be renewed in us so that we can know his thoughts. You know, they didn't know his thoughts until the word of God comes, and that's a revelation of his thoughts and of his ways. In fact, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you hear God's word, it's renewing your mind. It's going to cause you to be transformed. The word transformed is a Greek word, metamorpho, from which we get our English word metamorphosis. And if you remember, metamorphosis is the process whereby that caterpillar is turned into a butterfly. It is a change in species. And this is exactly what's going to happen to you in your mind through the word of God. You're going to be changed so that you'll no longer be thinking like carnal man. You'll be thinking like God. Because God wants you to be a partaker of the divine nature. He wants his thoughts put in you. You are not to be conformed to this world, but you are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is so important. You know, after you're born again, you're changed on the inside. But you've got to put on that new man in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says this, and that we have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We are being renewed in knowledge, and this is the word of God. That's Jesus. He's coming forth in us, and what is happening? We're putting on the new man as we are renewed in the knowledge of God. This is so important. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says this, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. And see, the word is what brings you that knowledge, revealed by the Holy Spirit. He goes on and says, according to his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. I'll tell you, you need to understand that God's word, living and abiding in you, this word, which is full of great and precious promises, exceeding great and precious promises, these are going to cause you to be a partaker of the divine nature. They give you all things that pertain to life and godliness through this knowledge, and the knowledge is revealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, this word is to be written in you. Hebrews chapter 8:10 says, this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. In Hebrews 10:16, it says the reverse of that. This is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. If you look at Hebrews 8:10 and 10:16 together, it says he's going to take his laws, that's his word, and put it in our mind and heart, and write it in our mind and heart. The word is being inscribed in us. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 3:3 says this, For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit is taking the Word of God and writing it in you. Not in tables of stone, as in the Old Testament. This is New Testament. Where is he writing it? In the fleshy tables of your heart. God wants his word dwelling in you. And every time you hear the word, it is coming into your heart. It's being written in your mind and written in your heart. And this is so important because this is the way Jesus is manifesting himself in you. This is you being conformed to the image of the Lord. He's living and abiding in you. He wants to dwell in you, and he dwells in you through the word abiding in you. As you take that word and you have it in you and you do it and keep it so that the devil doesn't come and take it out of you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." God wants the word dwelling in you. It's to dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And this is important. If you get God's word in you and it dwells in you, it's going to produce that wisdom in your life. When you have wisdom, you're going to be able to go forth and apply the knowledge that you get and be successful in life. We need wisdom to do the things that God has called us to do, so we see him be glorified and see much fruit come forth in our life. John 15:7 says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." I'll tell you, God's word is powerful. This word is Jesus. This word is what brought forth the creation. This word is what has caused you to be born again. And this word is spiritual law. It is life. And as you receive it, it's written in your mind. It's written in your heart. It's causing you to be thinking like God. You're putting on that new man, renewed in knowledge. And this knowledge of God, with these exceeding great and precious promises, causing you to be a partaker of the divine nature. You must understand, this word is being written in you. You are a living epistle. This is why you got to get in the Word. If you're not spending time in the Word of God, how in the world can the Lord manifest himself the way he wants to and bring forth a revelation of him? Get in the Word of God and watch him do great things in your life. We'll see you on the next broadcast. God bless you.